Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine and for providing a reasoned defense for historic Christianity with gentleness and respect. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast today in which we take your questions on God's design for sex. It's a brand new resource available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. What do you see in your mind's eye when the word sex is mentioned? When it comes to sex, let me tell you something. Playboy can't hold a candle to the Bible. And if you think that's an overstatement, just read a few verses of Song of Songs by Solomon. What the Creator, however, purposed to be pristine and pure has been prostituted and perverted. And as a result, we oftentimes, even as Christians, have a prostituted view of sex. God's design for sex is not only being perverted, therefore, in the culture, it's being perverted in the church as well. And rather than being cultural imitators, Christians all too often are relegated to the status of just that. Instead of being cultural initiators, they have become cultural imitators. And that is precisely why a resource such as God's Design for Sex is so urgently needed. Believers must become so familiar with truth that when a counterfeit sexual perversion looms on the horizon, well, they recognize it instantaneously. And not only that, it's crucial to be prepared to share life and light in a growing context of death and darkness. So this resource is, I think, a very appropriate resource for our time, again, available for your gift. And one of the primary contributors is my good friend Joe Dallas. He is founder of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California, and he is a pastoral counselor. He's a regularly featured speaker at conferences and churches. He's an author. He's written a lot of books that you can find on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And again, a principal contributor to this work as well, God's Design for Sex. Always good to have you on the broadcast, Joe.
And it's great being with you. Thank you, Hank.
At the opening of this broadcast, a lot of people want to talk to you, but I want to ask you the question in terms of the relevance and importance of the subject.
I can't think of too many subjects that are more relevant. Of course, Hank, I have to be careful because my area of ministry focus for the last 26 years has been sexual purity. And, you know, when you have a particular calling, you can make the mistake of thinking your area of calling is the most important and the whole church should prioritize it accordingly. But I do think that both conditions within the church and conditions within the culture are screaming for a reasoned, biblically based discussion on what human sexuality is and what it is meant to be. That's why I'm so excited about this resource that we've put together, because I think it provides a nice overview of human sexuality from a biblical perspective, and it addresses a lot of the hot topics that people are talking about today. So it's a relevant work, a relevant subject for a very confused time.
And I think it's helpful to note as well that over 20 years ago, you yourself craved justification for homosexuality. You had decided you were gay. You felt utterly incapable of changing your sexual desires, and therefore, instead of conforming your actions to biblical standards, you chose to adjust biblical standards to accommodate your actions. And you had a 6-year involvement as a staff member of a pro-homosexual metropolitan community church. And so when you talk about the subject of homosexuality, or you talk about the subject of same-sex marriage, you know what you are talking about through personal application and experience.
Yes, it's not just academic to me. It's deeply personal. And I think a critical point in all you just described, Hank, is that those decisions I made to embrace those sexual desires, that behavior, that identity, and to attempt to adjust Scripture to my experience rather than conform my experience to Scripture, those were all decisions I made as a born-again believer. I was backslidden. I was very deceived because I had become very rebellious. But I emphasize that because I want to emphasize that, again, there are many believers who are making similar decisions, whether they have to do with homosexuality or whether they have to do with embracing the use of pornography or engaging in an adulterous relationship or engaging in sexual relations before marriage. Many believers are, just as you said, imitating the world rather than initiating change within the culture. We are, in essence, letting the culture change us. And I think that is one of the broadest problems that the church is facing today.
I mentioned this in a previous broadcast, but the Apostle Peter says that we are partakers of the divine nature. In other words, the glowing embers from the eternal life of God have been deposited into our being such that the Spirit of God Almighty dwells within the human body. And sex is certainly a mysterious mixture of both the physical and the metaphysical aspect of humanity. It is not only mysterious, though, Joe, it's sacred.
It is that, and I don't think we can overestimate its power. I think this is one of the reasons deviations from the norm can be so hard to deal with, because the sexual experience and the way we have been created is such that what we experience sexually is deeply ingrained in the brain, in the soul. And so there is huge mystery to it. I don't think in this life we're ever going to fully understand all the ramifications of human sexuality and of the sexual union.
Talking to Joe Dallas, and we are going to be taking your questions in just a moment. I want to mention some of the chapters in God's Design for Sex. One of the chapters written by Joe Dallas is Defining and Defending the Biblical Concept of Family. Another is The Biblical Perspective on Sexual Practices Within Marriage. Another, Why Traditional Values Matter. Another chapter deals with the problem of pornography among Christians. Another, The Effects of Pornography on the Male Brain. Ellen Dykus wrote a chapter titled Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad. We even have a chapter titled Jesus, His Followers, and 50 Shades of Grey. If you're in the popular culture, you know precisely what that deals with. There's one of the most incredible articles I've ever read. It's a chapter by Jay Richards on defending the meaning of marriage. It is worth the price of admission alone. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Answering the Gay Christian Position by Joe Dallas, and much, much more. Again, the book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines for Joe Dallas. Carolyn's listening in Washington on KCIS. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Hi, Hank. Thank you. Bless you, Joe.
Well, thank you, Carolyn.
Yes. This is such a, I wouldn't call it a hot topic, but it's such a a pressing topic for me at this point. I have a family member who is married, and her husband has, after 10 years, decided that he is gay and has left her. I have a grandson in the middle of this, and I'm trying to establish a balance between loving and setting boundaries. I'm wondering if you can give some suggestions.
Well, Carolyn, I think the boundary question is determined by where boundaries are being crossed. In what area do you feel you need to set boundaries?
Well, with shared custody, you know, I'm sure that this little guy gets one set of opinions in one household and another set in another.
Mm-hmm.
How do you teach a child to love his daddy and then not accept the behavior? As a grandparent, we want to protect it's so precious to have a child love his parents, but as grandparents, I don't even know how to ask the question.
Oh, I think you asked it pretty well. Carolyn, I think that it's important to be talking openly with the child's mother about and being in agreement on the boundaries you're going to ask the father to observe. As you know, we can't force the other party to set the boundaries in their home that we set in ours, but we can seek some agreement with them, if possible, and solicit their cooperation. In some cases, the father in that position will honor those boundaries by not even bringing the subject up until the child is much older. In other cases, the father may not want to honor your request, and in those cases, you do, of course, reinforce the idea that the child should love the father and respect the father and value that relationship. And it becomes a great way of teaching how we love and respect people and simultaneously disagree with them and pray for them and hope for God to do his work in them. And in many cases, this is the kind of lesson that Christian families need to be teaching their children when a parent is in a prodigal kind of a life.
And, of course, this resource is apt for you, Carolyn. Again, you can get your copy by just hanging on. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Ken in Boise, Idaho, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ken. You're on with Joe Dallas.
I'm on a totally different track than your last caller. I've been married about 15 years. I'm a Christian. I'm in a monogamous relationship. About 5 years ago, my wife decided she wasn't going to have sex anymore with me. And since then, she's in one way hinted that if somehow I got good enough, we could start again. And I'm just not quite sure what good enough means. And I can't find anybody to help me with this biblically, because every once in a while, you know, being a man, I get crazy and take care of myself, I guess. I'll just have to say that. And I don't like it. And I feel guilty when I do.
Well, I am really sorry to hear this. I really am. First of all, is your wife still open to counsel from a third party that is biblical?
That's possible. I don't think she wants to talk about it, to be honest with you. I think it's something that's just, she feels like she can't talk about with anyone.
And did she give you a clear reason for wanting to withdraw from sex?
No. She just, it went from a normal sexual, monogamous, married relationship to where it kind of slowed down and then just pretty much stopped, maybe once a year.
And I'm sorry, how long have you been married?
16 years.
16 years, and you're a proc... And what is your age?
51.
Uh-huh. Well, people don't just stop having sexual relations in marriage for no reason. There is a reason. Either she's unaware of it or is not willing or wanting to explain what it really is. I would lovingly press the issue by reminding her that the marriage is, among other things, a sexual covenant. There is a covenant within marriage that Paul referred to when he said that the wife does not have power over her own body, but the husband, and the husband does not have power over his own body, but the wife. In other words, that we're not to withdraw from each other sexually. And I'm hoping that she'll hear that as counsel from God himself and be willing to explain why she is so reluctant to adhere to it.
Again, God's designed for sex, and we're answering questions on the issue of human sexuality. You can see that many people have questions from all kinds of different tributaries. The book is relevant. It's needed. It's important. Get your copy for your gift. Best way, equip.org. Be right back.
You might blush when you read Solomon's Song of Songs, but it's a beautiful reminder why God created sex. And Hank Hanegraaff wants you to learn more in CRI's new publication, God's Design for Sex. Request your copy of this important book when you call or go online. It's our thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Let's talk about sex. God's Design for Sex. That's the title of a must-read new CRI publication that equips you with biblical truth about this vital subject matter. The truth is, our Creator purposed sex to be pristine and pure, and He gave us guidelines about sexuality in His Word to make our joy complete. But how do we reclaim a biblical view of sex in a world that's prostituted and perverted this beautiful gift? God's Design for Sex explores the answers from Scripture of how to do just that. And Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy of God's Design for Sex today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His Holy Word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. When it comes to sex, Hollywood can't hold a candle to the Bible. After all, God intended sex, so why not read about it in His Word? God's Design for Sex helps you do that, and Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you this powerful new CRI publication. It's our thank you for your financial support of this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your copy of this important book when you call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking to Joe Dallas about a new resource available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It's titled God's Design for Sex, and it is an incredibly important resource to put into your hands. We're talking to one of the principal contributors, Joe Dallas. And Joe, one of the things I want to bring up before we go right back to our phone callers is this issue of sexual practice within marriage that you deal with in one of the chapters in this resource. So often when we think about sexual practices within marriage, we can hardly imagine that the Christian community has embraced secular values, but that seems to be precisely what's happening.
Sorry to say I agree with you, but I do. I can't tell you, Hank, the number of couples over the last 5 years who have asked me whether or not it was okay for them to watch pornography together as a marital aid, or the number of couples who engage in sadomasochistic practices and wonder if those are legitimate, or even role-playing whereby they pretend to be different people engaging in a sexual relationship. And again, you referenced the Song of Solomon, Good Heavens. By any standards, that's in the right way, an extremely sexy book. And so there's no indication in Scripture that God is against erotic response and erotic pleasure in the proper context. He created it, after all. But to pollute it with images of other couples, other people, pretending to be other people, or mixing an exquisite divine relationship with pain is really a terrible perversion of something sacred. And besides the moral problem inherent in those behaviors, there is also the second-rate nature of those experiences. I think some people mistakenly think that they must do all they can to make their sexual union intense rather than intimate. And yet it is in the intimacy with one another in the marital union that we find such incredible depth and security and fulfillment.
Yeah, what a great turn of phrase. Intense replacing intimate. And intimate, Joe, does require the investment of quality time as well.
It does, and I think this is one of the reasons as a culture we are going more for the intense than the intimate. The intense doesn't require much of you. Intimacy requires investment of time. It requires sacrifice. It requires mutual nurturing. And these are elements that hugely play into what happens in the bedroom between a man and a wife. And so I often think that when we go for the intense over the intimate, it's like going for junk food, which is intense but ultimately not satisfying, versus healthy food, which may not seem as intense but is deeply pleasurable and ultimately yields more benefit.
Related to this, Nancy Piercy wrote a chapter, Sex, Lies, and Secularism, and she points out as well that Christians so often are sincere in their faith but totally secular in their thought and behavior.
that's an interesting point, and I think it's very well put. I think a lot of sexual compromise happening among Christians is not happening because they don't have faith, not happening because they don't have a relationship with God, but because there is a disconnect between their general belief in God and even in the Trinity versus their adherence to what God has revealed in Scripture. And I think that's a problem that even goes beyond sexuality.
I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Shirley in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. She's listening on KARI. Shirley, you're with Joe Dallas.
Thank you. Hi, Joe. My name is Shirley, and my question is, in a relationship, you know, where a woman is dating somebody in a committed dated relationship, how early and how should she go about asking very important questions with regards to, you know, is this person got a strategy for dealing with temptation or pornographic material coming onto their internet screen? How does one approach all of this in a very respectful manner?
You just asked a question I think millions of Christian women would like to hear answered, Shirley, so thank you. That is important. Because if a relationship has the potential for marriage, you want to know that the person you're considering, who you're contemplating marriage with, is a responsible steward. That means you want to see that he is responsible in handling his money, his responsibilities in general, his work ethic, and you want to know that he's a responsible steward of his sexuality. And these days, when irresponsible stewardship of sexuality is so common, that's a very legitimate concern. I think in general, when the relationship is reaching the point where it's clear that it has the potential for permanent commitment, there is nothing wrong with saying, look, in this day and age, I know that the temptation to use pornography is very high. I know that the morals surrounding us are very lax. So please help me understand what you do to protect your own personal sexual sanctity. Because if we are going to unite as partners, I will come under the umbrella of your protection of sexual sanctity. So I want to know what you have in place at this point to be dealing with your own stewardship of your body and your sexual responses. And I think that's a very relevant question that a woman in a serious relationship is not only entitled to ask, I think it's smart of her to ask it.
And by the way, Shirley, one of the chapters in this book actually deals specifically with questions related to pornography. Joe, one of the articles you wrote specifically was the problem of pornography amongst Christians, and also, and I think more to the point, the effect of pornography on the male brain.
Yes, because this is not just a moral compromise of lust, although that's serious enough. It really is a literal retraining of the brain. It causes the brain to crave this intense imagery. A dependency is built up on the viewing of that imagery. It distorts a man's ability to properly view the male-female union. It changes his perspective on women. The ramifications of this are huge, Hank. You know, you may remember, as I do, when smoking cigarettes was very common, and we had smoking ads on TV, and all the movie stars smoked, and it was considered very glamorous. And, you know, people took up that habit without realizing they were taking up a habit that had huge ramifications. All they knew was it's pleasurable. Then decades later, all kinds of research came out showing the link between smoking and cancer, smoking and emphysema, the addictive nature of nicotine and so forth. I think that's where we are with pornography. We've got a whole generation consuming it, sometimes on a daily basis, without understanding the full ramifications of it.
Ellen Dykus wrote a chapter for this resource as well, God's Design for Sex, in which she talks about sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad, and she makes the case that pornography is a big problem amongst women as well.
And whether or not that is a new problem or whether or not it's just now coming to light and more women are admitting it, I don't know. I suspect it's a little of both. I think that as the times have evolved into more open licentiousness, there is, it seems to me, a natural modesty in women that is being dismantled. I don't watch MTV, so no, I did not see the Miley Cyrus performance, but I've seen clips of it, and I couldn't help but think how heartbreaking that this beautiful young woman would so devalue herself like a piece of meat on display and not realize her worth. And I think that this is something that is being encouraged in all of our women, but certainly our young ones, and it's tragic.
You know, last year, Gore Vidal, who's a celebrated author and playwright, died. And, of course, he was famous for best-selling novels like Lincoln and Myra Breckinridge. But he was also infamous for mocking religion and prudery. And he downplayed his more than 1,000 sexual encounters as nothing special compared to the pursuits of peers like John F. Kennedy and Tennessee Williams. So this is one of those issues in which the celebrated and the sophisticated are saying, you know what, have at it. And to say something contrary to that just means you're in the Dark Ages. But you're pointing out that we really don't know, just like with cigarettes, what the ramifications of this kind of behavior are.
And I'm afraid we're going to find out. We I think, conduct what you could call informal social experiments by celebrating these behaviors without really thinking through what the long-term effects are going to be. But I tell you, Hank, the need for security, the need for partnership with someone with whom we feel safe and committed, the need for that ongoing history of mutual knowledge and fidelity, that is a greater need than the need for sexual variety, which is really not a need, it's a craving, and there's a big difference. And I think that by giving into our cravings rather than listening to our needs, we're reaping a terrible fruit in the dismantling of the family, the lack of confidence in the real power of committed intimacy. And I think that as time goes on, we will probably too late realize that when we thought we were celebrating liberty, we were really tying ourselves up in knots.
Gore Vidal was wrong. Prudery is not helpful. It is hurtful. And at least as he is mocking prudery, he's saying that this is something that is part and parcel of religion. We should be liberated. But he actually was not liberated himself. He was bound, and he only fully knows the full ramifications of that in the present. God's Design for Sex, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can pick up your copy on the World Wide Web at equip.org for your gift again, or you can call one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 on the letter CRI. We'll be right back with your questions and Joe Dallas in just a few moments.
Sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. These are chapters in God's Design for Sex, an important new CRI book Hank Hanegraaff wants you to read. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call or go online to request your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. www.thebiblelandsman.org. Don't go anywhere. We've got more with Hank Hanegraaff next. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His holy word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Let's talk about sex. God's Design for Sex. That's the title of a must-read new CRI publication that equips you with biblical truth about this vital subject matter. The truth is, our Creator purposed sex to be pristine and pure, and He gave us guidelines about sexuality in His Word to make our joy complete. But how do we reclaim a biblical view of sex in a world that's prostituted and perverted this beautiful gift? God's Design for Sex explores the answers from Scripture of how to do just that. And Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy of God's Design for Sex today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org, equip.org. When you hear the word sex, what do you think of? How about the Bible? If you don't, then you should. And the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, shows you why. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you this important book as our gift to thank you for your financial support of this Bible Answer Man broadcast. To request your copy, call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Think about the words of Solomon, who exhorted his sons to listen to him and not get involved in adultery. He says, "Lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest strangers be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien, and you groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, 'How I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof, and I've not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to my instructors. I was almost an utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation.' Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind in a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you. At all times be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. And that is just a small sampling of Solomon talking about adultery in the book of Proverbs. So when we talk about God's design for sex, one of the things we recognize immediately, Joe, is that God is not a cosmic killjoy, but that he puts boundaries around our lives so we will not ruin ourselves.
Exactly. He puts boundaries around what is valuable and good because it is valuable and good. I mean, saying that God is anti-sex just because he has principles within which the sexual union is meant to be experienced is like saying God is anti-food just because there are some foods that are not good for you and some that are good for you. I mean, if you really love something, you protect it.
A lot of questions coming in. Fiona has got a question for you. How does God view gay, lesbian Christians? This is continued conscious sin. So are they still saved? And how would God have us respond to this growing trend in our communities to our children who will ask questions about it?
I would answer, Fiona, that we do not need to determine whether or not a Christian in sin is still saved. The Christian in sin is in sin and is wrong, whether that Christian was never born again in the first place or runs the risk of becoming reprobate or is in rebellion, deceived, lukewarm. We're not required to know because that is an issue between them and God that we can't necessarily determine. What we can do is earnestly warn them that they are living outside the parameters of what God intended according to what God has revealed, and that it is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and that we consider that to be a serious enough matter that it absolutely will affect our fellowship with them. It is an issue that should be addressed via church discipline if it's occurring within the context of a Bible-believing church. But again, I have tended not to engage in arguments over whether or not those who call themselves gay Christians are truly saved, because if indeed they are not, that is something that God will know better than I. What I do know from his word is that they are wrong, they are in serious error, and they need to repent.
Joe, this brings up an attendant question for me. One of the reasons I think this resource is so important, God's Design for Sex, and again, it is available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But when we become believers, we give acceptance to logical truth propositions. We say, now I believe that I'm saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. But that does not mean that suddenly the layers of sin embedded in the embodied self disappear. So we have to inform ourselves biblically. We have to exercise biblical disciplines so that we deal with those sins that are part and parcel of what we bring into the Christian community.
Absolutely. That is the sanctification process. We are being, as disciples, taught and led by him, and part of that teaching and even leading is what brings us into a deeper awareness of what remains in our life that needs correction or renunciation, and that is a growth process that's going to continue as long as we are in these bodies in this life. So I do think it's imperative, if we're going to be healthy believers, that we are daily studying the Word of God and judging our lives in light of what is revealed in the Word of God, because we have a tremendous capacity to kid ourselves into believing what we want to believe, so it's that much more imperative that we are letting truth dictate our behavior rather than letting our preferences inform us what we hope to be true.
Erica, San Francisco, California, listening on KCIV. You're on with Joe Dallas. Hi, Erica.
Hi. I wanted to know about the soul tie issue. I recently, someone from my past came back around, and, you know, I slipped up and we had intercourse. And the thing is, like, I keep thinking, oh, well, Lord, if you want us to be together, then make it happen. But I know that's not the right way, and I don't really think so. But the thing is, I keep thinking about him, and it's like, how do I move forward away from that? So it's a soul tie issue, and I want to move forward.
Well, Erica, God bless you. I appreciate what you're saying, because I was very promiscuous myself, had a number of sexual relationships, and really did suffer emotionally and spiritually as a result. I mean, there is more to this than I think people appreciate, this issue of the bond that happens between two people when they engage sexually. Now, the good news is what I'm sure you already know. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we stand before Him in the righteousness of Christ, thank God. And there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is all true. There are earthly consequences to our sin that we deal with, and this is one of them, and this is the bad news. I don't think we can just decide to move on past the effects of these bonds we've established any more than we can decide for a wound to heal. We have to wait for it to heal and continue functioning in the process and trust God to do the healing work that needs to be done. Always observing the basics, you need to be sure you are adhering to your prayer life, your study of Scripture, good fellowship, good friendship, and a passion for finding and fulfilling God's will in your life. And if you are following those principles, healing is going to come. That is the good news. The bad news being, we cannot make it come on our own timetable.
From Erica to Eric. Eric's listening in California as well, Sirius XM 131. Eric, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Hi. Recently just read Genesis 38, where God killed someone for Onan for spilling the seed. So, kind of, you know, the method of contraception that my wife and I have been using, so I'm not sure what
Eric, I get the gist of your question. You're not coming through very clear, but Onan's sin ultimately was a refusal to raise a progeny for a deceased brother as required by Jewish law. But that raises up a whole bunch of questions that are attendant to the question you were asking. Joe?
Yes, I think the question at the bottom line is birth control biblical or unbiblical? I agree with you, Hank. Onan's sin was an avoidance of his responsibility. I think that in a recent issue, in fact, of the Journal, there is an article on this, isn't there, Hank?
Well, I actually, in God's Design for Sex, deal with whether or not Christians should use birth control. And Joe, one of the points that I make in that article is that there's no question that birth control methods designed to destroy or prevent the implantation of a fertilized egg or an embryo should be avoided at all costs, because from the moment of conception, an embryo is a living, growing person made in the image of God. But another point I made, which I'd be interested in your reaction to, is that the necessary openness to children that accompanies the sexual union serves to protect against the abuse of sex for mere self-gratification. In other words, so often birth control methods are employed out of a selfish unwillingness to have children, and then sex can quickly degenerate into nothing more than a profound form of play.
I actually tend to go along with that thinking, Hank, and that I think that the sexual union between husband and wife is meant both to celebrate life and to at least include the openness to created life as well. And I think that both of those elements should be there. Now, I think that at times Christians will need to use wisdom in determining when they are ready to be raising children. But I think that you can plan that without resorting to means that, as you say, either impact a fertilized egg or are needlessly prohibitive. I think any time we view the sexual relationship outside of the context of being life-giving, we are taking an element from it that is intended to be a part of it and that I think adds to its mystery and its wonder.
We've been talking to Joe Dallas. He is a primary contributor to God's Design for Sex, a book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for Your Gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org. As always, Joe, we really appreciate your insights and your wisdom. Thank you for making such a great contribution to the body of Christ.
Well, thank you, Hank, and thanks so much for letting me have this discussion with you. It's always a pleasure.
God bless you, my friend, and God's Design for Sex, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Get your copy today. You can get it for your gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants standing by, 888-7000 CRI. You will be absolutely amazed at the breadth that is covered in this resource, and it's accessible, it's clear, it's compelling, and it's absolutely needful for you. That's why we put it together. We felt very led by the Spirit of God to do this. The resource now available. Again, the quickest way to get your copy is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast on your computer or download archived broadcast. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or you can write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His Holy Word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex.
so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.